Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
When I had the chance to show that no matter what anyone did to me, I was still an evolved human being, I failed. I repaid kindness with blood. I was no better than an animal.
No. An animal would have killed Ichar and never had a second thought, never shed a tear. But not you. You hate yourself. You hate yourself so much you think you deserve to die. The Agrathi did everything they could to strip you of your humanity. And in the end, for one brief moment, they succeeded. But you can't let that brief moment define your entire life. If you do, if you pull that trigger, then the Agrathi will have won. They will have destroyed a good man. You cannot let that happen, my friend.
Boypin, 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 and boypin it up. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. It's got Star Trek.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Are we started?
Sure.
Sure. Sure.
Do you mind if we start?
Are we started?
Is it okay if we start there?
Welcome to hell.
All right. Now I know what you were waiting for. Hello, audience. I wasn't sure what Dan was waiting for. Dan was being very coy.
Coy.
Leading up to the whole recording.
You were making a
podcast.
Joke about Coy earlier.
Dan Coy.
I was making a joke about Coy.
And it's not what you think.
No, I referred to myself as a coy boy.
Yeah.
Boy? And then I ruminated on the possibility that coy boy is a term that refers to somebody who enjoys, shall we say, the company of fish, perhaps.
Oh, no.
But I don't know.
Because koi fish.
This is not an area.
Not other types of fish. Not a trout.
It's not an area I have much expertise in.
You need help.
All right. I was kind of curious coming into this episode which sound clips you would pick.
Yeah. Let's just say, like, I think I described, like, how I organize these from positive to negative. They're a lot more on the negative side than the positive side. Like, I order them from left to right, top to bottom, positive comments down to negative comments. The most positive being yes, and the most negative being no.
Being Brian trying to beat his child.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
I said not now, right?
What
I said
not. What are you doing?
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Okay. Know, hello. Right. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
We have returned from vacation. You wouldn't
provide specifications.
Well, you wouldn't necessarily know that because we still put out content every week.
Because we're professionals.
Professionals.
You don't even know about.
We're professionals.
Not professional enough to mention which podcast this is. So,
who cares about that shit?
I'm unclear about the episode number.
Okay.
For our
Jesse, we'll get to that. Dan, for those new to the podcast, Dan, he doesn't care. He didn't care about
you. I'm loosey-goosey.
He's the rebel.
I'm cool as a cucumber.
He's the rebel podcaster.
Dan, angry hands.
Someone's like,
what? Did you say angry hands or hams?
Hands.
Okay.
Somebody asked me what number the podcast is. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Go suck your own butt.
That's right.
That's what I say.
That's Dan the rebel.
Every day it's like that.
Hello. Okay, this is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hard time.
We're discussing Deep Space Nine's Hard Time.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that this is a comedy podcast, and that this episode
is
not
going to be a hard time.
It's not much of a comedy.
Well, we did the one where Jake got all old. That wasn't exactly a funny episode.
Yeah, The Visitor. No, that was not a funny episode either. So Dan's algorithm picked this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan's algorithm is getting funnier as it goes along.
Yeah.
It's meant to ingest what we, the podcast we did the week before, and then his algorithm selects a podcast topic for us from amongst the, you know, all the Star Trek episodes out there. And lately, it's been throwing us these really dark and heavy episodes.
And this algorithm was based upon the transcript of our episode about Alf.
Yes.
Wow.
So that's right.
Alf led to hard times.
That's right. Yeah, because we were on vacation. We pre-recorded an episode on Alf, which was the last week's episode. It was episode two of It's Not Star Trek. We've returned now to our regular format. It's Got Star Trek. Mm. That's what you are listening to right now.
I don't understand.
Got it.
I think most people understand.
It's good.
It's the 251st episode.
Okay. Thanks.
Of It's Got Star Trek. So there we go.
There we go. Thank you.
You don't understand at all.
Oh, I do understand. But this is going to be a fun episode to navigate. So that's something because for you all to look forward to.
O'Brien, he's like generally gruff and grumpy, but like in a fun way. Mm-hmm. But here he's going deep into the darkness in this episode.
And it's another one of those episodes where they're just messing with O'Brien.
It's a series. Yeah. There's a term for it. The memed term is the O'Brien Must Suffer episode.
Yeah.
Of which there are many. Like, you know, Whispers is a good example. Mm. What was it? Visionary is another one. There's a lot of them, particularly in Deep Space Nine. Mostly in Deep Space Nine, right?
Mm-hmm. But I want to say that this is like probably one of my favorite Deep Space Nine, maybe even Star Trek episodes. Not my. I'm not going to define a favorite, but I'd say it's right up there.
A brilliant episode.
And honestly, I know you like the one with old Jake, and that's a good episode.
The Visitor.
I think I like this better than old Jake episode.
I think there's an argument for that.
Yeah, I think they're in the same league, for real.
Mm-hmm. They're both extremely well written.
This one, like, O'Brien just keeps sinking. Like, when you think, like the Sisko moment where he's talking to Sisko, you think, like, okay, he's been given the business. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll start to get in line, but that just makes it, like, tons worse for him. Like, somehow that he just keeps sinking throughout the whole episode.
Well, we're gonna cover all of that, and we'll cover the numbering issue,
Chief O'Brien.
But first,
Chief O'Brien,
we do have a couple of administrative things to go through. Episode 251, It's Got Star Trek. Patreon, a reminder for folks to check out our Patreon. You can sign up for free and hear free previews.
Like hell I will.
And there's you're not supposed to dissuade the listeners from checking out our Patreon.
So if you know what's good for you, you'll stay the hell away from me.
No, please don't. Please ignore Dan's comments.
They're like, I'm gazing.
I'm gazing.
Of course, that's it for gazing.
I'm gazing.
That's it for gazing?
I'm gazing.
How do you know it's a full gazing?
That was mixed with Donnie Brasco.
Yes, it was. All right, we'll get to all of that.
That's a fugazi.
Fugazi.
But
I'm gazing.
Patreon.com/It's Got Star Trek. We keep adding bonus content there. It's a great opportunity to give us money, and then you'll have a little less money. So you'll have less money encumbering you.
Capitalism.
And we'll take that on and split it amongst ourselves here. Easy peasy. Go check it out. There's some cool stuff over there. And a lot of cool stuff coming up, let me tell you.
What are we going to buy with it?
We'll talk about that after the show.
Okay.
News-em-ups.
Yeah. News-em-ups. News-em-ups. We got news-em-ups?
They're on the rad.
News-em-ups. They're on the rad. We got to bring this on the... We haven't said on the rad in a while.
Well, we said it right now.
I
know where Jesse was going with that.
You said it now.
Jesse's showing some restraint. Anyway.
What did I miss?
Don't worry about it. Just listen back. On the rad. Yes, I agree.
We haven't said that much to not Patrick's chagrin.
Yes, I'm not a fan of this this slogan that I believe Dan came up with somewhere along the way.
I don't care.
Called saying what is it? You know, there's this,
on the
X
rad.
Is on the rad.
I'd forgotten how beautiful it was.
I'm not a fan of it, but apparently most of our audience is. I've been repeatedly shamed and scolded in social media circles for not being into the on the rad thing. So, what are you going to do? But there was a bit of news. There's some Star Trek news and some It's Got Star Trek news. So for the Star Trek news, Star Trek Las Vegas just happened, big convention. There was a bunch of news came out of that. And we're not the place for this kind of news. Other podcasts are going to be much better. Most specifically, I recommend checking out Open Pike Night's next podcast whenever you're hearing this, it's going to be the next one that Open Pike does, because they're going to have a whole call-in show with the discussions of all the crazy news that's been out, all the new Star Trek
Batches on the red.
But there's a couple things worth mentioning. One was that Strange New Worlds, they did release like a few minute clip. I don't know, did either of you guys see this clip of the senior staff getting turned into Vulcans?
No, but I saw some clips of the new Borderlands movie, and it doesn't look very good.
No, I mean, that's a different franchise, but I think that's getting a 6% right now on.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh boy,
6%.
It's not good. Oh, but boy. There's been some controversy.
Oh boy, what's that from? Oh boy,
I couldn't tell you.
Oh
that.
Boy,
controversy.
That's from Quantum Leap, starring Scott Bakula, aka Captain Archer.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, but which episode? When did he
says that like all the time at the beginning of Quantum Leap.
Oh, is that like a...
That's like his thing.
His catchphrase.
I don't remember.
Like when he figures out like what crazy scenario he's in, he goes like, oh boy.
It's like the other guy says caca a bunch.
You're talking about... Al? You're talking about Al? The guy who played what's his name in episode
Dean,
of Enterprise?
Dean Stockwell.
Not to be confused with that other Dean who played Superman?
Oh, Dean.
Perhaps, yes.
Harry yeah. Dean Anderson?
No.
I don't think it's Harry. No,
forget about it. These are all guy. Other franchises.
I'm doing a free association thing. My bad.
Yes, normally this
now
is.
Now it's what, you, oh, dude.
This is where Dan usually scolds me.
Now you're out of context. I'm going to ring the non sequitur alarm.
Okay. Oh my god. Okay.
I'll be good.
The Strange New Worlds. It's a bit controversial. They released a few minute clip, and in summary, Pike and a few of the other people, they go through a transporter thing. They turn into Vulcans. I guess there's some reason they want to turn them into Vulcans.
Why
and then
not?
And then, you know, that's the gag. People are finding this scene controversial in two ways. Some people just think it looks really silly and stupid. And it kind of does. But you know, that's one issue. And that one, I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt because we haven't seen it in context. The producer,
how many of them?
Who?
How many of the senior staff?
I think it was four or five. I think it was like Uhura and maybe number one. I can't remember exactly who it was. But I'll give them the benefit of the doubt in that Strange New Worlds, the producers, they've done all sorts of cool, crazy things, and it's turned out pretty darn well. On the other hand, Star Trek always has clunkers, frequently has clunkers. That's true of modern Star Trek as well. And it does look a little bit silly.
Everything's going to be all right.
But we'll see. But there was another part of it is that when they're all Vulcans, they're just like, they keep doing this gag where they're just ragging on Spock for being half Vulcan and like making fun of him. And it's...
Why? Because they're full Vulcan?
Yeah, even though they're not.
Even though they're not.
And so here's the thing that's pissing people off.
That's lame, dude.
What's pissing people off is partly that it's silly. The other thing that's pissing people off is that it seems to assume that being Vulcan and logical is a genetic trait and not something that Vulcans, as we know from canon, have to learn. Mm-hmm. Right? They're actually the opposite. They're very emotional.
They
got to do the culinary.
Yeah, the reason they are unemotional is because when they allow their emotions to come out, it fucks their shit up.
They're complete dickheads.
Yeah,
and
really strong.
And the way this is presented is
really
that
strong
they,
bodies.
Is that they just like change their genes and they become Vulcans and they become super like logical and stuff. It really doesn't make sense, and it sort of goes against canon. So that, and it's sort of silly. So that's one thing that's upsetting some people. But other people have noted, especially I was reading this on Kate Mora's Twitter feed. Her Twitter feed is at JediCat71. And she was noting,
on my way.
She was sort of upset by the fact that they keep using Spock's multiracial heritage as the butt of a joke. Mm. And, you know, they did that a lot in TOS, and it was the 60s, whatever. So it's not that you give it a pass, but at least there's some contextual understanding.
Well, Bones
it.
Was all like, your pointy-eared Vulcan brain can't understand anything.
And Bones was also portrayed as being slightly racist. He was like a Southern racist guy, basically, except being racist to an alien. Mm-hmm. But I agree with Kate that this was it made me a little uncomfortable. It's not that you can't make fun and have somebody's identity part of the gag, but in this particular scene, it was just, it was weird. It was pretty intense. Again, We'll see what it is in context, but if you want to check out Kate Mora's thread on this, it was on July 28th at JediCat71. Check it out. I think she makes some very good points. Certainly something worth considering. But again, check out the next Open Pike Night. I'm sure they'll discuss this and a lot more. There's also the Section 31 movie preview came out, and a lot of people think it looks stupid. I think that's even more so. You just have to wait, because previews are, you know how they cut previews. They often don't make any sense.
Totally.
And I get there's a lot of cool actors in that movie.
I don't like to watch trailers for movies and stuff, and it annoys me because Paramount Plus sometimes makes you watch trailers for things.
I agree.
And it's like,
I don't
want to watch it because I don't want it, because they spoil a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And so Paramount Plus is forcing spoilage on me unless I like close my eyes and ears. Yeah. And that's, no, who wants to do that?
No, I agree. I'm watching trailers less and less, and it's a shame because I used to love watching trailers. I love watching like classic movie previews, and I loved getting to the movie theaters in time to watch all the trailers, and now I can't give a shit because
they either spoil
too much, or they don't actually explain, you know, they don't like convey the reality of the film, or the, it just, everything looks shitty.
And that dude that used to do the voiceover, like, doesn't...
He died.
Oh, man.
All right. Anyway, that's a bit of news and ups. There was also...
On the red.
Damn right.
There was also...
If folks
want to go look at our social media, one of the reasons you might want to follow is at It's Got Star Trek, all the reasonable social media places, is that you can see things like the big debate between meatloaf and hamburgers, which was a whole big thing. Jesse's probably not even aware of this, but
maybe we should start a new segment called like Hot Take Tuesdays.
Hot Take, yeah. Well, that would have to be a separate podcast. We can do a Tuesday podcast.
Okay, just called Hot Take Tuesdays.
Dan, how about you do that?
Hot Dog Tuesday.
Be your podcast. That'll be Dan's Tuesday podcast.
I need to think of a hot take quick. I can't think of any hot takes.
Well, then you can't do the fucking podcast.
You lose.
You're fired.
You lose, Glaubitz.
You can wear underwear 2 days in a row and be just fine. That's my hot take.
All right. Well, anyway.
I think I just revealed an embarrassing secret about myself.
To clarify, the debate was whether...
I don't wear my underwear
Whether meatloaf
days in a row.
And hamburgers are the same thing.
You know, Jesse doesn't wear underwear at all.
I don't think meatloaf and hamburgers are the same thing. Dan thinks...
Absolutely.
I did not say they were the fucking same thing.
Dan says they're totally interchangeable.
Oh my God.
You were trying to make some argument that they were somehow in the same...
Yes, they are.
...universe.
They are. Because they're both ground beef.
Lots of things are ground beef.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a hamburger steak?
Look, yeah, I didn't even know
what
that was.
And that's not meatloaf either.
That's the same goddamn thing, except... One's baked and one's grilled, and you can bake a hamburger if you really want to.
I think it's different.
It's the same. What? Tell me what's different. Tell me what is different.
This was not my intention.
Tell me what is different between a hamburger steak and a meatloaf if you bake the hamburger.
I think a hamburger steak is just like a big old like extra beefy.
Yeah.
You know, hamburger thing that you eat with like a fork and knife.
That's what a fucking meatloaf is.
Meatloaf is like you add some goo to it.
No, you don't add goo.
There's like breadcrumbs.
You add breadcrumbs. You don't add goo. You can add goo if you want to.
The ratio of the crust to the not crust is different in a
meatloaf. But that's not enough to make
to
it.
Me,
that's not a, enough to make it a different ballpark.
To me, it's everything.
That's enough to make it live in a different ballpark?
Yes.
No, that's
a different fucking context.
Do you add a lot of things to your hamburgers?
What I usually put on hamburgers is onion, pickles.
But when you're mixing the meat.
You know, you can put breadcrumbs in a hamburger and it's still
a hamburger. Yes.
If you want, in Oklahoma, they have onion burgers where they just put onions, they mix the onions in with the burger meat. Those are good.
That's fine, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah.
So you can put sauce on meatloaf, but you can also have a barbecue motherfucking sauce hamburger, which Patrick likes, and he said he does like barbecue sauce on hamburgers.
Yeah, but that's not a meatloaf. I don't put barbecue sauce on my meatloaf.
But people put sauce on meatloaf sometimes.
Yeah, but it's not barbecue sauce.
But the point is like they're both slabs of ground beef.
Okay. But lots of stuff is ground
beef.
And you don't have to put fucking breadcrumbs in meatloaf, and you can put breadcrumbs in a hamburger. Like, the whole like crust difference, like get the fuck out of here with that shit.
All right, okay. We'll continue this in another venue at another time. Continue.
But I like onions and pickles, raw onion and pickles on my hamburgers.
But check out our social media. All sorts of.
I'm down.
Sometimes,
that.
Sometimes.
All sorts of fun stuff goes on.
Sometimes
there.
I like mayonnaise on my hamburger.
I never like mayonnaise.
Grayson.
And maybe mustard.
Grayson, longtime listener Grayson, had a really sweet treat. No, sweet tweet.
Sweet
tweet. Oh.
Sweet tweet. Sweet this is tweet. A new. This is a new. A new. What do we call this? A new feature called Sweet Tweets.
Sweet Tweets.
Tweet Tweets.
This is a sweet tweet from, Grayson. A marshmallow on Twitter said, 5-hour drive and you can only listen to one artist. Who's the artist? And Grayson said, Grayson tweeted, in quotes, artist is doing some heavy lifting here, but it's definitely the trio known as It's Got Star Trek.
Oh, boy.
Wow,
that's a sweet,
dude.
That is a sweet.
That's a pretty sweet treat.
A sweet
tweet.
Tweet.
Treat.
A sweet tweet.
That's
a very
sweet,
nice thing to say.
It's a nice thing to say. And it prompts me to remind our listeners out there, we normally don't beg too much for reviews and ratings and all that stuff. But, you know, it does help. And so every now and then we do like to mention it, especially, it's unfair, but it's especially true on iTunes. If you have it in your heart to give us a nice rating and say a word or two about us, that would be fantastic.
If you write us an Apple Podcast review
on Apple
Podcast, Dan will do some crazy shit.
I'll write a haiku based on your username.
All right, there you go.
Dan
will do bespoke haikus. He promises not to use ChatGPT.
I promise.
To write the haiku.
No, I totally promise.
He will do it from scratch.
From scratch. No ChatGPT.
And he'll get within plus or minus two syllables.
Well, I'll do the whole, I'll do exactly the right amount of syllables.
Are you serious?
It's not a haiku otherwise.
Hey, everybody, what better deal are you going to find than that?
You're not gonna.
What better deal? He's going to give you the precise number of syllables for your haiku, for your bespoke haiku, if you give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you give us a review on one of the other podcasts, Jesse and I will come to your house and hang out.
You sure you want that?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking the audience. You sure you want that?
Well, you can pick
they
between.
They can't answer,
you
asshole.
Can pick between Jesse or I.
I just want to be left alone.
I'm sure you do. All right. Moving right along, we do have a couple of voicemails.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And then we will get.
You're crazy.
Get into our conversation. So the first voicemail is from.
Boyfriend.
Boyfriend.
First boyfriend. Who was your first boyfriend, Patrick?
This is my boy.
You know it was you.
Aw. Yeah.
We met on Little League. Yeah. We were the losers.
Oh, yeah. Little League losers.
We were like the old boys on the team because we joined Little League too late.
Oh, no.
So they put Dan and I on a team with a bunch of people who were like 3 years younger than us. We were beasts.
Was it T-ball?
No. Anyway.
But thank you, Grayson. That was very nice.
Yes, that was nice. All right. Next, voicemails.
What's up? It's Got Star Trek. Sincera here. Longtime listener. First time caller. This morning, the time crystal that Jesse from Open Bike Night gave me started glowing and vibrating.
Weird.
So naturally I grabbed it. I was shown vivid imagery of the four of us doing a podcast. Unclear whether it was yours or mine. Battle Stage Theatrica coming soon. Nor could I tell when it takes place due to all of our ageless and ruggedly handsome natures. All I know is that fate is set in stone. Happy 250 lads. 251 by the time you get this.
Yeah.
Here's to 250 more of Jesse's subtle bits of brilliance and to Dan's, only Dan's, which was also in full swing during my time crystal vision. Live long and prosper.
Thanks, Agamas!
Thanks, Sincera. And yeah, he's referencing the only Dan's. Was it Jesse?
Oh, yeah, the
was
only
it other
Dan's.
Jesse who said that?
That's
Jesse...
the second time I didn't get that joke right away.
Yeah, yeah, because it was when we were hanging out with Jesse from Open Pike Night.
Yeah.
A couple in episode 250.
That was just recently.
And he made an only Dan's joke, which is an OnlyFans joke, except it was because Dan likes to hang out just naked all the time.
Yeah, and I'm slow. I've got brain fog. So like,
out.
So like, I didn't get it at first. And then,
you didn't get it again.
And then I didn't get it again. I think I need to see a doctor.
Call it the brain clap.
Thank you, Sincera. And that Battlestar Theatrica, that sounds cool. I presume it's about Battlestar Galactica. What I don't know is if it's about the old Battlestar Galactica or the new Battlestar Galactica or the as yet to be produced and maybe not being produced even newer Battlestar Galactica.
Are you Snacktica?
But I love Battlestar Galactica.
Did you? Are you talking about a new Battlestar Galactica? Has that ever been discussed?
Yeah,
by
it was. It was all like apparently it was all like ready in production, but I think that it got canceled or delayed or something. Like a whole new like, and maybe it's still going on. I don't know. I haven't checked on it recently. But anyway,
is it supposed to have the same people or just totally new cast?
No. It's a total. It's another reboot.
Battlestar Scott Bakula.
But it wouldn't be a Ron Moore production?
Not as far as I know, but I don't know. I have no expertise.
You ever seen that For All Mankind show?
I heard it's great.
It's fantastic.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's on my list.
It's great. I love it.
Okay. next we have...
That's produced by Ron Moore. I think it was created by Ron Moore.
It was. Next we have a voicemail from Fraser.
All right.
Hey, do you idiots remember what episode you were... getting all hanky about Macaboo bread? God damn, where the fuck is Macaboo bread? Riker was saying it. It was a code for like a yeast infection or something.
All right, thank you, Fraser. By the way, everyone can thank Fraser for our Patreon because he kept insisting on it. He kept insisting that we
produce
some sort of mechanism for us to send us money, and he's a person of his word.
That's classic Fraser right there.
It is. Now,
Macaboo bread, no crust.
Thank you, Dan. I was wondering if you had it. You got it?
Macaboo bread, no crust.
Yes, because it was not Riker. It was Jake.
Macaboo bread, no crust.
Jake was talking about it was in For the Cause, right? In For the Cause. Wasn't that when he was all talking about having a big cup of ractogena with Macaboo bread?
Macaboo bread, no crust.
Although on Memory Alpha, it's listed as Macapa bread.
Right.
Which is confusing, but it's...
Ractogena, extra sweet. Macaboo bread, no crust.
Yeah, because he has no crust on it.
No crust.
Which is crazy.
He says it's supposed to be Macapa, but he sounds like he's saying Macaboo.
Yeah, Macaboo bread.
Mm. But you guys said something else.
What did I say?
No, I said Macaboo, and you guys were saying it sounded like something else.
Macaboo?
You were like saying it sounded like Bloogie Blog bread or something.
Right. Well, whatever that... That's the answer for you, Fraser.
Macaboo bread, no crust. Macaboo bread, no crust. Macaboo bread, no crust.
Look it up, and I eventually... found it. Okay.
Fraser always sounds so belligerent when he calls.
I know, it's great.
It's awesome.
Thank you. That does it for voicemails and all that other stuff. We do have some emails, but we do have to start talking about this. We're going to do the emails next week. Okay. If you would like to send an email or voicemail, you can send emails to feedback@discussstartrek.com, and you can send voicemails, either send us an MP3 at the email address, or go to itsgotstartrek.com/record. And then you can just record straight into the website and send us a message.
Speaking of ha! I noticed something that Jake does, and he did it a bunch in this episode.
All right.
Chief. Perfect. You're still the chief.
And then Chief O'Brien follows it up with...
Don't you forget it.
You know, you're right. He does it twice there. Played it again.
Hey, I'm going to do all of them.
All right.
Chief. Perfect. You're still the chief. Don't you forget it.
That was part of the same scene. He kept going, heh, heh. Yeah. And that Jake did something similar in another episode. I think it was like an episode where he's like, you long for her heh, touch.
Oh, yeah, like that's right. Because he was talking. That was it also in For the Cause, I think. Because in For the Cause, he was saying that Sisko was missing Cassidy Yates.
Yeah.
And so he was teasing. It was weird. He was teasing his dad about not getting laid in a while.
What episode was that?
For the Cause. That was episode like 232, 238, something like that.
Well, no, I mean
of It's Got Star Trek.
Well, I'm gonna have to look up the actual episode of the DS9.
It's For the Cause.
I know, but I need to know the number.
Oh. Jake had another silly outfit on. This
For the Cause, episode. I believe, is episode 422. Maybe
I think it's 421.
420. It's in there. Well,
it's the same. I think it's the same one. Is it the same one as
Macaboo bread?
Yes,
no
it
crust.
Is exactly the same one.
Yeah.
Jesse,
you missed talking.
Oh, hey.
Command and duty. Sharing insights
duty.
About.
Oh wait, here it is.
You missed talking.
Oh yeah, he does a little bit of heh too.
You so, miss her.
Jesse was talking about the number.
Companionship.
And I remembered we're in
season... Oh, what I mean is...
We're in season 4 of...
Oh, what I mean is... You miss her... Oh, what I mean is... You miss her companionship.
Yes.
You miss talking.
Great. Season 4 of Deep Space Nine introduces the numbering problem. The numbering problem pops up in a few seasons of Star Trek. There's some TOS where there's a debate over how you number certain episodes. The opening episode of season 4 is The Way of the Warrior, and it's a two-part episode. Some places have it as episodes 1 and 2 of season 4 with the, what is it? Is it the Visitor being number 3? What's the next one? Is the
of season 4?
Yeah. Whatever it is, I think it's the Visitor.
Somewhere there.
Yeah. But the point being,
the Visitor is listed on Google as episode 2.
Well, that's what So that's what I'm getting. Right. So if you go to Memory Alpha, I bet it's episode 3 because they do Way of the Warrior.
Suckers.
It's episodes 1 and 2. The reason that's relevant here is because this episode is either episode 19 or 20 or 18. Now I can't remember, but it's confusing.
Oh yeah, okay. I'm looking at Memory Alpha. It says says the Visitor is season 4X03.
Exactly.
4X03.
So, and that pushes all the episodes back. So I don't know. I've gone with the Memory Alpha one, and I think IMDb might be the same. I don't. I always load them all up, and I try to see if there's any consensus when there's a controversy.
I think Memory Alpha is the safe one to go with.
Yeah, sometimes. I don't know.
What was that about?
No, it's not a critique of Memory Alpha. It's just that people are making decisions. And when it comes to categories, I feel very strongly.
The Visitor on IMDb is episode 2.
What about Scategories?
I don't play that game.
I play Scruples. I feel it's important when it comes to categories that we remind ourselves that humans invent these categories, and none of them are 100% perfect.
Right.
And it's okay.
That's why you got to go with one.
Yeah, no. I agree. No, look, they have utility, and we subdivide things because it has utility to help us organize the universe. That's important.
Or just divide
things. I just think it's equally important that we remind ourselves that they are not 100%. They're like conveniences, but we shouldn't overly rely on them, because otherwise people start going the other direction and say the category says this, so that means you're the wrong type of person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. That's where
we don't want other people.
It becomes a problem there when you're like,
We don't want to get involved in othering.
We do not. But we also don't want to get involved in making the most terrible mistake any podcaster can make, which is to not take a break when it's time to take a break.
Or we haven't even really started talking about the episode yet, which I would say is a greater mistake.
We'll get there.
Well, you know, we've been on a vacation. What are we supposed to do? All right. We will be right back. Okay, we're back.
Never thought I'd see you again.
Ah, but you did. You know, I totally forgot to mention that I totally have a second break fun-em-up.
Oh my God. When are we going to start talking about this? Patrick, are you avoiding talking about this episode? Because about serious shit makes you uncomfortable.
No. I like talking about serious shit, but it's funny. We'll save the fun-em-up for a little later in the second.
What are you doing?
It's just to advertise a second break fun-em-up. It doesn't have to be at the beginning of the second break. It can be later in the second break. That's fine. All right. Plus, when we get to the second break, fun them up. You'll see it's not necessarily as fun to fun them up as it might as the advertising might convey.
Mm.
So let's get started in this episode. PTSD is no joke.
Mm-mm.
This is I remember watching this episode when it aired.
Mm-hmm.
I was 16 years old, and right at the beginning, this is the brilliance of the writing of this episode, of the structure of this episode, is they just like, boom, here's the sci-fi concept at the beginning. We have done a dark version of the Inner Light. We're squirting memories into O'Brien's head, and it's going to...
Chief O'Brien!
And it's fucking him up. And then we're going to slowly reveal over time, over the course of the story, how fucked up the story is.
And it keeps getting more and more fucked up. And even the music is like really sad the whole time. It's more dire than anything else. It's the music like has this dark, depressive effect on my brain somehow.
It's this, everything about the production of this episode is intense and great. And part of why it works so well is, and I said, I remember when this aired, that teaser happens, they present you the information, and your brain is like, whoa, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And then the episode just is like, no, guess what? It's even more fucked up than you think.
Yeah.
We're going to keep making it more and more fucked and up. More.
Like I said, like the Cisco part, you could think it's like, okay, he's getting the business from Cisco. And O'Brien, under normal circumstances, would sort of like relent at that point. But not only did he not relent, it caused him to go even crazier.
Yeah, he stormed
or more
out.
Upset, rather. Yeah. So yeah, it was no bueno for O'Brien.
No bueno.
People do mention that, O'Brien. You know, as we just referenced, there are similarities to The Inner Light, which aired about 4 years before this. Oh, no. This is like a twist on that concept. And for those three people, for some reason, who don't know what happens in The Inner Light in TNG, the Enterprise comes across a probe which grabs a hold of Picard's brain with a psychic brain beam. And Picard lives an entire life, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years on a planet. And it turns out that these people, it was their mechanism for spreading their culture, because they were long since dead. Mm-hmm. Very clever idea, considered by many one of the best, if not the best, episode of Star Trek TNG. Some people say it's the best Star Trek ever. Maybe. Inner Light's great. I do like it.
It's a good episode.
This is the dark sibling. Mm-hmm. I think somebody on Facebook said something like that. Taking that concept and applying it in a more menacing way.
Who's got a dark sibling? Do you have a dark sibling?
We all do.
Yep.
But this is also similar. I mean, it does share similarities to that Inner Light, but there's also that Voyager episode with Tom Paris called Ex Post Facto, where Paris is falsely accused of murder. And the planet where this happens on, the punishment is in part to have the final memories of the person who you killed implanted in your brain, so you can see yourself killing them.
That's a bummer.
It's another really fucked up episode.
I think I saw that one.
It's a good episode, but it's twisted. That one, though, you know, it's more like straight up Tom Paris is framed. You know, it's like you know he didn't murder this person, but he's negatively affected because even though he knows he didn't murder the person, he still is watching himself murder himself. It's complicated. This is even worse, though, because O'Brien is so nice. He's the everyman character. He doesn't have any superpowers or anything like that. He's just a good engineer.
I like when O'Brien and Worf are bonding, because he's like, you're a good friend to Worf. Because Worf was talking about kayaking or whatever.
Yeah.
But like they are good friends. They're like the two dudes that go, like when you hear about people.
They were on the Enterprise.
Yeah, when you watch a show and you're like, oh, and then someone's like, oh yeah, I was on the Blue Bee Blue ship with them, and you never actually saw the Blue Bee Blue ship or them on it. This we actually did get to see them together on TNG. So
they've both been on a lot of Star Trek.
I gotta say, I like ponytail Worf better than I like shoulder length hair.
Me too.
Worf, you know. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a particularly controversial opinion, but I'd like to hear.
I never said it was.
I didn't suggest that you did.
I'm fine.
You kind of, well, but you, by, you if kind I of did, implied that.
If I implied that, it was an implication on accident.
On accident.
On accident, as the youth say. As the youth of the 1990s said. I'd like to hear from people, actually, what you think about what. Which is your favorite Worf? I'm also team ponytail. Because he can whip it around. He can do like a Klingon warrior whipping the ponytail. And when he undoes his ponytail, it's extra sexy.
And he also seems more competent in DS9. Like, in TNG, he just kind of like, they kind of push all of his comments aside. And he's always like...
O'Brien's like, they actually listen to you here.
Yeah. Right. And then there was that episode where he got into like a battle royale and fucked a bunch of dudes up in DS9. It was two-parter.
That was super cool.
So O'Brien was in this cell. The outside of the cell was just just white light. You couldn't see out of it. Yeah. Now, I wonder
because it was a mind cell.
That's what I'm wondering, if that was done on purpose. Like, it's supposed to mean the holo program didn't render that part, I guess, something.
The brain program, whatever. It's not a holo program. So whatever the equivalent is. I know, but, you know, let's avoid the emails.
I don't think anyone's going to care.
Injecting false memories.
Okay, so I have a question about these false memories.
Do you?
I do. So
let's hear it.
So did O'Brien's mind actually kill Ichar, or was that part of the punishment? Another way to put that question is, did O'Brien have any agency over his implanted memories, or was it all just like put on him? Did he actually react to Ichar in that way, or was that part of the punishment?
My understanding from Dr. Bashir's explanation, because he says it a couple times, but particularly when he's explaining to Keiko, she's asking why they can't just remove the memories like they've done a million times on Star Trek. And part of what makes this episode so powerful is, unlike so much of Star Trek, it does not end with a reset button. Mm-hmm. It does not end with a magical or medical or time based.
Right. It ends with him going into therapy.
Yeah, it ends with him getting medicated and going into therapy for years, which is great.
Though they never circle back to that later. But
well, yeah, but yeah, exactly. But
you don't need to.
But still, even
Miles.
It's like even you don't have to show him going to the bathroom.
The fact that they make the point that is going to linger.
They let it linger.
And they even make it at the beginning of the episode where O'Brien is like, Bashir is saying like, look, you've gone through a lot, but don't worry. You know, he was telling Keiko, he's like, he'll get better. He's dealt with a lot of other horrible stuff that the producers have thrown at him.
You keep messing with us.
The Battle of Sedlak 3 and all that.
Chief O'Brien hoped they would start getting some answers.
What the fuck was that? What the fuck was that?
That was from the episode. You don't remember that?
Dude, no.
No, I don't. Is that you? Do you have like an AI reading a transcript or something? What is
no, that? That was from the episode.
I don't remember that.
You don't?
Play it again.
Chief O'Brien hoped they would start getting some answers.
That's from the episode. That's from like a documentary about lymphoma or something. What is that? Were you watching?
When
something?
Does Chief O'Brien get lymphoma?
I don't think he did.
Oh no.
Chief O'Brien called up every person that had been involved in the investigation.
Yeah, it's like it's unsolved mysteries. What the fuck is this?
NCIS.
This was the first time in his 30 plus year career that Chief O'Brien was confronted with the stray body part, a severed head at that.
Whoa.
Man, I wish I watched the same episode you did. Yeah. You watched the extended director's cut.
Chief O'Brien had just got an exciting tip.
You don't remember any of this?
No, I'm afraid not, Dan. I do not remember any of that.
Okay.
Are you being a mamma jamma?
Anyway, to circle back, I forget what the exact original point I was winding and wending my way towards.
Oh, we're talking about Keiko.
The memories. I remember the memories. O'Brien tells Keiko explicitly that unlike previous incarnations of Star Trek where they can just slurp out some memory engrams or whatever, that because of the mechanism of using a simulation, they created a simulation in his mind, as he put it, a time compressed simulation
hologram.
And O'Brien expressly states that Chief O'Brien was making choices along the way.
Chief O'Brien,
which is why it is not possible to extricate them from his brain because they've intertwined.
Right. Now, makes it even more fucked up because Chief O'Brien did do that.
I think the story needs him to have done that because he needs to have been taken that far.
Yeah.
O'Brien decided to plan a funeral.
I was also thinking about how it's such an interesting idea that somebody who you saw like a few days ago, like they're showing back up and it's like they haven't seen you in years. Mm-hmm. And we've had other media has done that with like time travel. Right. Mm. But this is like a slightly different angle. This is almost more somebody who has like dementia or something like that, where you're just like dealing with somebody. It's like an awkward weirdness of like you're dealing with your friend or your family member.
Yeah, when she
you have to like play along
when
humor them.
When she saw O'Brien like splitting his food out, at first she was like chuckling, like that's funny. But then she was like laughing uncomfortably, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Some weird shit.
And by the way, people always joan on Keiko because like they always call her a grumpy bump. But she had every reason to like.
I don't joan.
She well, a lot of
she
people.
Was, she was very nice.
I like Keiko. Episode.
No, but I mean, I like Keiko too. But it's often people.
Dan, why are you always ragging on Keiko?
It's often people are often like Keiko is always there to bring O'Brien down. But like she had good reason this time to like be like that, you know, because he's all like,
Daddy, come on.
Not now.
Please, Daddy, please.
I said not now, right?
What
I said not.
What are you doing?
Why are we laughing?
Because it's kind of funny.
It's so fucked up. What's funny is that Dan's not laughing at all. Jesse and I are the only people. We're the ones who have children. and we see O'Brien just start like threatening his child. We're like,
if only. But
like he like stands up and is like, rawr.
Yeah, he like, she had to hold him back.
He looked scary.
He was charging Molly like he was in a drunken bar fight or something.
That was scary.
But Keiko was being really supportive and great in this episode.
She was being excellent.
Yeah.
So
most excellent.
Party on.
Party on, dude.
Party on, dude.
Party on, dude.
all right, these Agrathi people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't learn that much about them. We learn that they're pretty fucked up.
They're fucked up. Okay, so there was one part where you hear in the background, the over the PA, that voice, it goes, all offenders refusing to comply mm-hmm. with dormancy period will be subject to habitat reprogramming. Yeah. What the fuck is habitat reprogramming?
I don't know. Do you think it's related to the constant screaming in the background? Just like the low-level screaming? Yeah. It was... Yeah. It was so effective.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I was so happy. I was like, Dan's going to record this.
Yeah.
I hope he does.
I did.
It was so effective because, of course, it's horrifying, but it was contrasted with the calm conversations and even laughter between Ichar and O'Brien. And just in the background, just like,
And what was that fruit called? There was that Chelosh fruit.
Chelosh fruit.
So
I felt so sad for Miles when he couldn't get it.
So there was Ichar.
It's like, I don't know the specifications for that shit.
So there was Ichar
yes.
giving him Chelosh fruit. They could have easily interchanged those names. They could have named him Chelosh and had Ichar fruit.
Exactly.
Dan, that's racist.
Right. Oh, man.
Topper shut.
Oh, you know, another way these topper, that's a local thing, isn't it? The PA system was talking about, it says all food rations will be suspended until further notice. Any offenders caught with rations will be disciplined. Like, that's just a dick move.
It is.
Like, not only are we not giving you rations, if you have some, we'll fuck you up. These guys have a shit prison system.
Just to play devil's advocate. I mean, you know, if you're trying to keep food away from people, you want them to not have food, you know? How else are you going to punish them?
Okay.
How else are you going to control them?
I guess
you're
going
to weaken them and make them sad.
Well, the point is like, if there's one thing you got to give people. You can beat the shit out of people, but you got to feed them.
No.
You got to feed them.
Not if you want them to slowly wither and die.
That's not... Well, but that's... If you want to rehabilitate them, you don't fucking starve them.
I don't get the impression these people would want to rehabilitate anybody.
Well, I mean, that's what supposedly a prison system's supposed to do.
I know, in practice it doesn't, but
at the same time... Like,
these
they
are some kind of alien motherfuckers.
Look, they could at least put on the facade that it's, like, trying to rehabilitate.
Dan, I'm right there with you, but the carceral system is... It's very rarely about rehabilitation.
I know,
in practice.
I know,
noted,
in practice,
you know.
I know, but like they at least try to put on a facade that it is about rehabilitation.
These people don't. These Agrathi people are fucked up.
They're fucking fucks.
Oh, and the main Agrathi person was played by I'm forgetting her name now, but she was played by the same person who played in The Inner Light. She played Picard's wife on the planet in The Inner Light.
Go figure. Go figure.
No, I don't think that's the right phrase to use here.
Yeah, it is. Go figure.
Go figure?
Go figure.
You think so?
Yeah. What else?
I don't know if go figure quite works there.
I think that's exactly what you say.
No.
What would you say?
Small studio.
Yeah. Well, he's doing a variation on it's a small world.
Ichar was like a little bit too jovial for being in there for six cycles, which somehow line up to 6 years.
Well, he was a little bit mad.
Yeah, I think the joke was he's all like, better to laugh than to go mad.
Yeah, right.
He was. And what immediately struck Chief O'Brien was the condition of the hair.
Do you have the Hello Miles, Welcome to Hell thing?
What, this?
Welcome to Hell.
Yeah. Oh, you get the.
I just
part.
Have the welcome to hell part.
Yeah, because he's like, "Hello, Miles. Welcome to hell." Something along those lines.
I wish I did, but I don't.
Yes, Ichar. Let's talk about Ichar.
Where would I go to?
Let's talk about Ichar in a bit.
Where would I stay?
Okay, now you got to do it again. Come on.
Where would I go to?
Where would I stay?
I just wanted to make sure everyone in the audience got that. I was talking over it a little bit. We already discussed how the story is really unfolds in a clever and elegant way. And we do want to talk about Ichar, but let me get to the second break fun 'em up so we can just make sure we get that in here. O'Brien, of course, at a certain point tries to, you know, or attempts suicide, or is about to attempt suicide.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty fucking heavy, right?
He just puts weapons locker.
You see him grab the phaser. First of all, he grabs the phaser and then he starts clicking it up and you're like, oh man, that's high. And then it goes to the second level, you know, of the lights. Right, he's like beep 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 beep, and you're like, oh my god, he turned it all the way up.
He's
like, no, beep 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 beep,
it's
like goes even more. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh man, he's just gonna vaporize his ass.
They really went all the way.
They went all the fucking
way.
Did you see?
And he was like, he had like some wrench that looked like it weighed 100 pounds, and he's just swinging it, like bashing shit around. Then he tosses it aside like it's nothing. But that, it's like that scene where it just cuts to him bashing shit around with a wrench. You're like, oh my god, and then he grabs the fucking phaser, and it's like, oh no.
Yeah, well, sucks. O'Brien attempting suicide made me think of, well, what about all the other times? How many other times have people have tried to commit suicide in Star Trek?
This isn't fun.
This is a fun-em-up.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. well, it depends
on... So if you know what's good for you, you'll stay the hell away from me.
So I got these from Memory Alpha, and Memory Alpha does it sort of largely in... universe time order. So
you look like a Rita Hawk picking at a corpse.
It starts with, they mention, I'm not going to go through all of these. I'll just have a couple of highlights, but Malcolm Malcolm Reed tries to kill himself in the episode Minefield on Enterprise. Because he's pinned to the hull of the Enterprise, and he doesn't want them to try to save him. He wants the ship, you know, he fears for the safety of the crew, so he's trying to kill himself so they don't have to save him. I don't know if that counts. I know that technically, a lot of these ones in the list on Memory Alpha were people who were really, they were sacrificing themselves, and that might... have meant that they were doing a suicide mission. I don't quite count that as the same as
because that's just being a good soldier.
Yeah, or a good person, possibly. Not, you don't. I don't think you have to be a good soldier to sacrifice your life to save others.
Well, what about Geordi when he was in the, when the when in the Troy holodeck program when she was training to be a captain and she had to send Hollow Geordi to his death?
Yeah,
does that count?
Yes, no, that doesn't count in my book as a suicide. He, like, I agree, that's a suicide mission, and in that case, he is being a good soldier, but that is not responsive to my statement that I don't think you need to be a soldier in order to sacrifice your life to save other people's lives.
But that's along the same lines of your fun-em-up, where people try to kill themselves. Yes. Geordi tried to, Paulo Geordi tried to kill himself.
Yes, this is all in the context of me saying that I don't,
holograms?
I personally wouldn't count this Malcolm Reed example, even though, yes, he is killing himself, for the purpose of making it so that people don't have to. So this is a borderline thing. So Geordi going on a suicide mission or being ordered on a suicide mission, Hollow Geordi, that's a mission, right? Mm-hmm. That's following orders.
That's a mission. All
Malcolm right. Reed, they were trying to save his life and he was like, they will stop trying to save my life and they will instead save their lives because they're in danger if I'm no longer alive. So he was going to kill himself for the purpose of removing himself, like removing the motivation to save his life. Mm-hmm. So, right? So yes, he's killing himself, but he's also doing it for the greater good of the others. Whereas you have our old friend Commander Ari Bin Bem. Mm. Do you remember Commander Ari Bin Bem?
Yeah. Mm.
Yes, I do.
He considered ceasing to exist. The godlike entity that controlled, that was inhabiting Delta Theta 3, did not wish harm to come to him.
And
convinced him not to do that. So that was in the TAS episode, Bem.
Mm-hmm. Bem.
I really like that episode. Do you remember that? Ari Bin Bem is he's the creature that divides into three different cells
into his constituent animation cells.
Yeah. And then you have Worf tries to kill himself a few times.
Oh, the one when he breaks his butt. His spare butt.
His boxes fall off.
Ethics. Yes, in Ethics, he wants to commit suicide, although I guess he needs Riker to help him. He also, before that, actually, in Night Terrors, he's having horrible nightmares, and they drive him to want to commit suicide.
Well, we could go kayaking in the Holosuite.
Troy, also, in The Eye of the Beholder, she has disturbing hallucinations, which make her want to kill herself. I think the one that's most similar to this, unsurprisingly perhaps, most similar to Hard Time, is another Deep Space Nine episode, The Wire, where Garrick, he's trying to kill himself because that's the one where it turns out that he has a cranial implant that the Obsidian Order gave him in order to stimulate his pleasure centers.
It's horrible.
But it stopped working, and so now he was in constant pain.
Oh, no.
And there's another one where they didn't have a cure at the end, because Deep Space Nine was awesome like that. Bashir was just like, no, you just got to live with it. Bashir says that a lot in Deep Space Nine. He's the he's such a smart doctor, but he never resolves all their problems. Neelix also tries to kill himself at least once. I think it was when he was he had somebody put Borg nanoprobes in him or something, and he's had some weird encounter with death. There's Captain Terrell in Star Trek II. That's a fucked up one where he vaporizes himself. He's under mind control from Khan, but then he's trying not to do, so he's pointing the phaser like at people.
Well, that doesn't count because he's under mind control.
No, but Paul Winfield, he's being mind controlled to shoot somebody else. He overcomes the mind control, but the only solution he has is to kill himself.
That's being a good soldier.
Well, I don't know. He's in pretty anguished. I counted it because he vaporized and he was all like, you know, one of those like the movie style phasers where it seems pretty slow. Like you just slowly
kind of like
up.
In Conspiracy. I mean, that wasn't a guy killing himself, but that kind of death.
Upsetting. Well, there's other upsetting ones too. Yvette Picard, Picard's mother in season two of Picard. Get to see that.
She
suffered
from like some kind of mental illness.
Yeah. She had some mental illness. That was fucking intense.
Yeah.
You mentioned The Visitor earlier and
Nana Visitor.
No, the Deep Space Nine Visitor.
Nana Visitor. She's in DS9.
She is in DS9, and she may even be in The Visitor, if I recall correctly. But it's old Jake Sisko who commits suicide in that one. Quinn, we talked about this. I can't remember which episode, but remember in Death Wish, Quinn, the Q fellow who wanted to kill himself.
Yeah.
And then there was.
But that was understandable. Dude lived forever.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm not saying whether these are. You're adding all this criteria to it. I'm just saying somebody who killed themselves due to, you know, sadness or anguish or whatever.
I don't think it was due to sadness. I think it was due to boredom.
Well, okay, but to me that counts.
If you live forever, you're allowed to want to end it at some point.
Yeah, that Q was not killing himself to save a sinking ship or something.
No,
he was doing it for his own purpose. He had his own motivations, his own purposes. That's which is fine. I'm fine with that. And there's a whole bunch of other ones, but you know, so that's, I think that's enough for now. But suicide comes up a lot on Star Trek, and often in a pretty intense and fucked up way.
Yeah.
Oh, it looked like
you. Suicide.
Okay.
Suicide. You were trying to commit suicide. Suicide.
Is that enough?
You are evidently a suicidal maniac.
I think it was some form of ritual suicide.
It could be a suicide mission.
I'm not going to help you plan our suicide.
So
it's like every clip you've gotten so far that has suicide. Yeah. I'm impressed with your searchability, your search functions.
I label my shit well.
Mr. Clips.
You were trying to commit suicide. Suicide.
All right, back to this old episode.
I was going to say, back to the part where we were talking about the Chelosh fruit. So O'Brien...
He wants to order it from the... Are you talking about when he's trying to order it and he doesn't have the specifications?
Yeah,
it was so sad.
It was funny that he wanted to order the Chelosh fruit from the replicator because you'd think that he'd want to forget everything about that experience, especially some shit fruit that you can only find in dirt jail. But like somehow, some sick part of his brain feels comfort in being reminded of the pain, showing that our brains are weird.
Yep. And just to clarify, when you say... aggressively say some sick part of the brain, you don't mean like he's a bad person for thinking that.
No, I don't mean he's a bad person. I'm just saying I'm not critiquing him.
I'm just saying some fucking sick part of the brain.
No, just the how
sick in the head.
No, just how human brains work in general. When we deal with trauma, you'd think we'd want to extricate, is that the right word, ourselves from the trauma as much as possible.
I think that
works.
Sure,
why not? Separate ourselves from the trauma as much as possible, but part of you wants to relive the trauma because it's somehow, because the brain gets fucked up and finds it comforting. And I think that's what was happening to him with the Chelosh fruit and wanting to order it. Because why else would he want to eat some shitty fruit that he had during a traumatic experience? It's because like there was some sort of connection.
Wasn't that shitty?
It was some sort of control and connection he was feeling.
But in the fascinating thing about this episode is he's doing both. Because on the surface, he's trying to pretend like everything's fine. He is trying to pretend like he's just like, I just want to forget about it and don't want to do anything. You know, don't even think about it. Yet he wants the Chelosh fruit. Yet he's separating out rations. He's sleeping on the floor. He's doing all the things that psychiatrists, psychologists will mention can happen with regard to trauma. Where, yes, you do feel comfortable with what is known, what is comfortable, what you have...
Replicator pattern for requested fruit is not available.
What you have habituated yourself to, especially the complex web of coping mechanisms, some that you might be conscious of and many that you aren't even conscious of in terms of like which direction you sleep or, you know, what side of the body, you know, those things like that. They can become very comfortable. Mm. It's also true of depression where, you know, somebody's like, oh, well, why don't you just feel better? Wouldn't it be better to feel better? It's like, no, when you're depressed, it can feel really comfortable to just sink into the depression and be like, this is nice. Fuck the world.
I think it's in part, it's because he got so used to the routine of prison that even though it sucked, it sort of kind of gives you a feeling like you're in control being back into that structure and routine. That kind of like,
and he's now he's in chaos. You know, you come back to this normal place, and it's a cacophony of noises and people,
and it's all
smells.
These people, and he doesn't know how to interact with anything, and he knows how to interact with that chilosh fruit.
They're brilliantly put together. I think they did a really good job with all that the PTSD stuff. Robert Hewitt Wolf wrote this episode, looking at some background on Memory Alpha and a few other places. Apparently this was an idea that he'd been trying to get made since season one, of Deep Space Nine. It was an idea they bought off of some people or considered buying off of some other folks. I don't know why I'm saying some other folks. I have their names written down right here. The story was by Daniel Keyes Moran. Daniel Keyes Moran and Lynn Barker. But Robert Hewitt Wolf wrote the script. The original story did not have Ichar. It was more about solitary confinement. But there was another script or another story that Robert Hewitt Wolf had been working on that did involve somebody killing, being in prison and killing their roommate, their cellmate, and feeling guilt about that. So he kind of merged the two stories together. But the main point I wanted to make is Robert Hewitt Wolf is married to a psychologist who served as sort of an unofficial consultant, according to Memory Alpha, to this episode, which probably helped helped the realism of O'Brien's reactions.
That's fun. Another thing that's fucked up about the Agrathi is that they didn't tell Sisko about their punishment, their correction, until after they already performed it. That's another dick move.
Totally dick move.
Like, come on, man.
Another thing I heard about the Agrathi is that, generally speaking, their podcasts don't take breaks. They just barrel right through.
Oh, unlike ours.
Unlike ours.
Wait, are you trying to say something?
I'm trying to say it's time to take a break.
Oh, yeah?
Chief O'Brien was thrilled.
We will be right back. All right, we're back. Hello.
So when O'Brien gets back, Bashir's all like, Chief, and then O'Brien's like, Julian, is it really you? And Bashir's like, it's me. And O'Brien's like, I never thought I'd see you again. And Bashir's like, I was pretty worried about you too. They officially have a total bromance going on.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, man.
Total bromance. And it's funny because they're like opposites attract, right? You know, because they're like, you know, Bashir's all like superhuman and fancy and stuff, and O'Brien's just like all gruff and like grumpy and like but they get along with each other.
It's a bear and a twink.
A bear and a twink?
What?
What did you say?
Yeah, I agree.
A bear and a twink?
Wink, wink, wink.
There's one thing I haven't missed in the last 20 years. It's your smug, superior attitude.
Smug.
Smug.
He says a lot of hilarious things. Well, maybe not that hilarious. I think where's that one line? I don't know if you have this one where O'Brien, when he's talking to Bashir at the end, and he says he was my best friend and I moited him.
He was my best friend and I murdered him. He was my best friend. And I murdered him.
I moited him. Brilliant. I know. I'm not making fun. It's hilarious. It's brilliant. I mean, that was a brilliant scene, and it was really touching.
So between that and Smug. What about Sisko's like sultry voice?
You'll see him today.
That's great.
Sisko, I wish I could.
He's a good leader.
You'll see him today.
That's like, oh my God. That just like makes me tingle.
Yeah, no, me too. You and me both, brother. I thought it was really cute how...
When he charged Molly and was going to start hitting her?
Daddy, come on.
We saw Hannah Hattay, who plays Molly. We saw her not long ago when we did Rascals, because that was the first time she played Molly, and the last time O'Brien and, well, the last time Keiko and Molly were on TNG. O'Brien was in a flashback. But anyway, so no, but that's not what I was referring
to. I said not now, right?
What I was referring to is how they have Jake teaching O'Brien or reviewing stuff with O'Brien in the same place that you may remember long ago where we got our famous clip because Sisko made Jake learn engineering from O'Brien, and hence
Chief O'Brien.
Hence we
Chief
get
O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien. That's Jake responding to his father saying, "You've got to go learn this stuff from O'Brien."
What a backwards world we live in, because he's like teaching him about it.
It was something I had not noted. I've seen all of these episodes a million times, but I never made that connection that they were mirroring that relationship between the two.
It just shows how far back O'Brien's come.
A quantum flux regulator. Mark 3.
I'm done. Can I go color?
Now who's acting crazy?
Please.
All right. Do you have where he says discipline this?
What? Does he actually say that?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, then you don't have that. Well,
No, then you don't have
discipline
it.
Discipline this.
Wait, really? Is that a line in this episode?
I have it written.
It is indeed.
I have it written down here and I have it in quotes.
Please.
A little bit of our Alf episode from last
How time. Do you know what's best for me? Just like that.
Just like that, indeed.
What was the discipline? Wait, now I gotta look up the line.
Well, don't worry about this. The line was discipline this. So you can, while you're looking that up at Chakotea.net or whatever.
Oh, yeah. All offenders in detention area 4, if you do not cease this disturbance immediately, you will be disciplined. Discipline this.
Yes, and then O'Brien like humps the door.
Yeah, and he goes like, fuck. Oh, my fuck. Oh, my fuck is so fuck. Oh, my fuck is so shit right now. fuck.
Cartman has entered the building.
Oh my fuck.
When O'Brien,
Chief O'Brien?
Yes, Chief O'Brien.
The same.
Oh, you're not going to play the clip? I thought there was an excuse to play the clip.
Chief O'Brien.
There we go. All right. O'Brien gets testier and testier as the episode goes along. Actually, it goes pretty quick because not long after he's come back, he's attacking, physically assaulting Quark. And Quark looks so fucking busy. I felt so sad for Quark because he was just rushing around. He was trying to be nice. He was being super polite to O'Brien. And it was important that we sympathized with Quark. Normally, Quark is the one we don't sympathize with. But they were positioning us to be like, O'Brien is so fucked up by his experience that you're sympathizing with Quark.
He put him in some Aikido wrist lock thing.
Yeah. And he was like breaking his arms.
But then Quark reminds you of who he is, because then he's like that. When he's like, "Chief, just because your life's in shambles right now," which is a pretty ballsy thing to say
when
to somebody
who's already fucking with your arm.
Yeah. But I know. Felt pretty bad for even Odo was like, "Fuck."
And the thing about that was O'Brien was ordering a synthahale. He wasn't ordering a proper scotch or something. I was like, at least get something stronger.
But we think the synthahale had alcohol in it.
We do. We think I think the conclusion.
I mean,
we
why
came
else would he
to,
be so desperate for it?
This is an open debate. We've discussed this with the callers and listeners and with each other before about
with each other with each others.
The conclusion being, you get drunk off of synthale, except you can like also like immediately scotch. Like you don't get the side effects like hangovers, and like if you need to get undrunk, you can like get undrunk fast somehow.
So
if necessary. But anyway, my point is like O'Brien needs to be smoking some weed here or something, or some snake leaf, right?
Yes.
Snake
he needed something to take the edge off, and I don't think booze or synthale was gonna It's going to take the edge off.
So, yeah, so the order it goes in is first O'Brien starts, you see him, he starts losing it when he's playing darts and he sees Ichar wandering around. Then he flips his top at Bashir when, like, Bashir gets on his case about not seeing counseling. That's when O'Brien really starts getting mad. Yeah. Then he loses it with Quark, like you said. Then he, Miles doesn't just see Ichar, he starts talking to Ichar. Then O'Brien, who would normally follow Sisko's orders without question, this time he's, like, super resistance, and he has an attitude when Sisko's like, is that clear? He's like, yes, sir. He gives him a little bit of attitude.
Yeah.
He snapped at poor Dax, you know, who just wanted to like do some
her only lines in the whole episode.
Yeah, who she just wanted to do get some work done, and he snapped at her. But she looked at him. No one was getting mad at O'Brien. They were all just really concerned. Yeah. So they could tell it was
which is, by the way, another thing that is common in the context of people dealing with somebody, a friend or family member who is suffering from this type of trauma, sort of intense trauma, is that there are people who are at a loss as to what to do. Everyone's got their different angles on it. And the predominant angle presented in this episode is counseling. I like that they didn't present medication until the very end. I mean, I'm not saying I like that. Well, I found that interesting. You'd think you'd drug somebody up as the first thing with some sort of magical Starfleet drugs, but they presented at the end as, no, you'll need like super long-term counseling, and here's some medication to just, you know, help out a little bit.
Right. So after he snaps at Dax, that's when normal O'Brien would like fall in line and realize that he went too far. But instead of knocking some sense into him, it causes him to like lose his shit even more. Yeah. He doesn't even care because like Sisko's like, we're going to put you in the infirmary if you don't shape up. He doesn't even care. But then again, he did spend 20 years in prison. Yes. What the fuck does it mean to be in an infirmary? Then he just totally shits in Bashir's mouth. Like he's like, stay the fuck away from me.
That's
like
a very interesting imagery you've presented there, Dan.
Well, he's like some paranoid asshole to like Bashir. He's like, stay away. Like, he keeps going like, stay away from me. You know, like he
I've never heard the phrase, he shits in Bashir's mouth.
Yeah, he does. You didn't see that part?
No, I appreciate it. I enjoy it. It's colorful.
But anyways, so like, he's starting to get like really paranoid. Instead of just being like, hey, chill out, he's like, stay away from me. Like you're trying to keep someone from killing you or something.
I'm not joking, Lee.
And then it goes,
I moited him.
And then it shows him like actually flipping out at his cellmate. And then it gets really dark when he nearly beats up Molly. Mm-hmm. And then I was talking about he takes this giant wrench to the cargo shit and then he tries to kill himself. Those are basically all the steps of the shit. The when he was he fucked up his
Asikas?
His Asikas.
The little sand drawings, which it's another element of the episode that I enjoyed. Is even though it's a frivolous little thing, but it, you know, the way it kept coming up and it was a shorthand to show the time passing for O'Brien, because when he first tries it, he's all like, fuck this, and it's all lame. Yeah. But by the end, you know, as the episode goes along, you see his sand things get better and better.
Yeah.
Until by the end, it's like really intricate and complex and looks all meditative.
And then like, he actually like uses the
pocket sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pocket sand. Yeah.
Pocket sand.
Uses some Dale Gribble patented pocket sand.
Pocket sand, right. So when he's talking about that Rita Hawk, and then he's all like, when he does that, when O'Brien's like, how do you do that? And he's like, what are you talking about? You mean? He's like, no, laugh after 6 years in here. But if you listen to the line before, he's asking him how to make Asikas. O'Brien's like, show me. And then Ichar's like, it's not easy. And then O'Brien goes, I have plenty of time to learn. And they both kind of chuckle there.
Yes.
But then immediately after, O'Brien's asking Ichar, how do you laugh like that? When he just laughed the line before.
When I was watching this episode earlier today for the second time, I noticed that, and I thought in my mind, Dan's going to point this out.
No, you didn't.
I did. I was like, Dan is going to fucking point out.
That he laughed directly before he asked Ichar how he could laugh. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, how did you just laugh, O'Brien?
And earlier in this podcast episode, you were suggesting that this episode may be one of your favorite episodes ever. And any hedging at the time earlier in the episode, I assume, is because of this of this oversight.
Oh, yeah, that's what's keeping it from number one.
This is my would keep it right behind Star Trek V or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
The Hawk thing was super charming, although it was.
Whoops, that was the wrong button.
It was another example of. of Star Trek taking a regular noun and then adding a second word to it to make it an alien noun. So it's not a hawk, it's a Rita Hawk. And then I was thinking, this is about a prison. Is a Rita Hawk a crazy oblique reference to Rita Hayworth, which is a reference to the Shawshank Redemption?
I don't think so.
Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption? Probably not. I didn't find any evidence to support that, but I thought it.
But I thought it popped through my head.
Well, this is a podcast. This is what we do. We reveal our thoughts to the greater public, a portion of the public which chooses to consume those thoughts, not necessarily to agree with them, but to consume
to present them because we don't want dead
we
air.
We present them and they get consumed, and that is the cycle of life for the podcast. Podcast audio.
We just don't want dead air. As long as there's no dead air,
the ecosystem involves there's a relationship between host and audience.
In Chakotea.net, when
I think we're both boring, Jesse.
Yeah.
No, I'm keeping the dead air away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If I'm making a noise, and there's never dead
in
air.
In Chakotea.net, the way they describe this. How would you spell that in a script? How would you spell that noise?
The noise?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is there? Because it's okay. I got you. Okay, it took me a second. Somebody has done this.
Yes.
And you're asking Jesse and I.
Yes.
To pick. I think it might just be me, Dan.
Jesse,
in the subtitles on TV, it's probably going to just like describe the sound that it's making.
Yes.
And not like spell
but,
it out.
But Dan is implying that it doesn't just say hawk sound.
I'm talking about in Chakotea.net.
Can you play it again and I'll take a stab at it?
Don't stab me.
No, not stabbing you. I'm going to take a stab at what you're getting at.
Whoops. I keep pressing the wrong one. This one.
Was it H?
There's an H in there.
H U E W H.
H U E W H.
No, that spells the sound.
That's perfectly reasonable, but it's not it. It is.
Thank you for placating me. I know you didn't remotely think that was perfectly reasonable.
Oh, it was all right. The way they spelled it in Chakotea.net was AWK. Awk.
Really?
Okay, I get
like,
where they're coming
like
from.
Like hawk?
No, like awk, awk, awk.
But it's also a hawk. Yeah. It's also a hawk.
A hawk, hawk, hawk.
H-A-A-W-K is also the initials for the rock and roller Andrew W.K.
That's right.
Mama gets it out with A-L-L.
There was also another funny description in Chakotea.net. Net, neck, not neck.
Yeah. So when neck, is that a new subdomain?
So when Jake's teaching O'Brien about like
Uber domain,
teaching O'Brien about like the tools, he's like, O'Brien's like interphasic coil spanner, ODN recoupler, and then he picks up what is to be known as the quantum flux regulator, Mark III. And in Chakotea.net, in parentheses, before he picks it up, it says, O'Brien picks up a fancy perspex tube, possibly with a light bulb in the end.
Oh.
Perspex.
Yeah. Hmm. I think that's what it's actually called.
Perspex. Isn't that some kind of, is that like some kind of like plexiglass material or something?
No, I think it's a measurement, like per mile.
I think it's a material.
It is a material. Yeah.
It's like some kind of like glassy material.
It's like glass that's confusing. You get it?
Yeah.
See, I don't think everyone's gonna get that. Anyway, if you get that, write in at feedback@StarTrek.com.
So Chief O'Brien went back and asked her to draw alternate sketches of the severed head.
Dude, what the hell is
that? That's good. I like it.
Do you want me to reveal where that's
is
from?
It? Yeah, what is it?
It's from like an unaired copy of this episode that I downloaded.
No.
Okay.
Is this from Unsolved Mysteries?
No, it's from the show, the radio show, Snap Judgment.
Whoa.
Snap Judgment.
I'm not familiar with that radio.
It's on NPR.
Yeah. It's like one of those shows where they tell stories.
It's a Saturday show.
Just one of those.
You can listen to it tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm going to look up, actually. It's something, it's called the Bone something or other.
The Bone Collector? The Bones in the Yard?
It's called The Bone Readers. Snap Classic. Snap Judgment. Posted 8 days ago.
That bone was my bone.
It's about...
Was it about snapping bones in half?
It's... Here's the
cracking bones open and slurping out the marrow?
Snapping bones.
No. The description is...
Slurping marrow.
Here's the description. A severed head turns up in a small rural town.
Rural.
While police investigate this as a crime, they look at disturbed graves, search for missing people, suspect a killer. But the forensic artist on the case has a very different theory for how the head ended up in the woods.
Aliens. Was it aliens?
I don't think so.
Did you listen to the whole episode?
No, I just listened for parts that said Chief O'Brien. I happened to be driving in my car, and I heard them say Chief O'Brien, and then I went home, and I like looked it up on YouTube, and I just like pressed fast forward. That's for every awesome. Part I could find Chief O'Brien.
Well done, sir.
So I might have ruined the magic by telling you what it was from, but...
No,
that's great.
No. Chief O'Brien and his team carefully placed the head inside a large brown paper bag.
Sabotage.
They moited him.
I'm not joking, Lee.
All right. Any last little bits? I did want to comment on Bashir's speech at the end, which capped off a brilliantly written and brilliantly acted episode. But the discussion between Bashir and Chief O'Brien at the end, O'Brien explaining what he did, saying that he moited his friend and all that other business. But then Bashir saying, you know, look, you think you've lost your humanity, but you haven't because you're all fucked up. Mm. Like if you weren't fucked up, if you were just some animal... Like, because that's O'Brien was like worried.
You're not
like,
an
like,
animal.
Thought he was just an animal. He's like, if you were an animal, you would have killed the guy without thinking twice about it. You would have no guilt about it. But you're all fucked up. That means you're human. That, unfortunately, that also means you're gonna have to figure out a way to process this and work through that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, it still ties up the story in a little bit of a bow, but with enough open ended, you know, not magical healing. That I think it retains the power of the story that would have otherwise been undercut if they had just been able to erase the memories or go back in time or something.
Did you catch the name of the medication that Bashir gave him?
I did not.
Now's the part.
Now's the part.
Now's the part.
Now's the part.
Now's
no,
the part.
That, no, 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 no. Dan's fooling again.
No, no, no.
No.
But did
now's the part.
Now's the part.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, look, I know that. Now's the part. O'Brien saying like, now's the part where you tell me I have to do a little dance. And
fine.
Blah 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 blah.
Fine.
Yeah. Now. But then that thing is now. I want to know what the medication was called. What was it called?
Now's the part.
No. What was it actually called?
That's what it was called.
Was it called Perazoline or something?
I mean, that's the only reference I heard of it. I didn't hear
it.
Was
it called Taintaloni?
Taintaloni? That's a pasta.
You have to take two Taintalonis per day. Call me in the morning.
It's a Taintaloni.
I had like an extra large bowl of Taintaloni.
With extra cheese.
Extra Flamunda cheese.
When HR at the end, he says, "Be well, Miles." At the end, which normally that's just kind of one of those things you say.
You're not going to find the name of the medication.
It doesn't actually say.
I thought that Brian said something, or was he just like, "This is something to make you feel better."
He says 30 milligrams twice a day. Take it religiously.
So, yeah,
and when HR at the end says, "Be well, Miles," that's normally some shit you just say to somebody. Yeah. But in this case, it had extra meaning because it's like Miles wasn't well.
Yeah.
So he was telling him, "Be well.
Yeah.
Don't be sick."
Yeah. And it was much better than that piece of shit who, when I was hiking, told me he hoped I had a beneficial day.
Yeah. You hate that guy.
That guy is lucky that he wasn't moited.
He could have been moited. I think I hate that guy now, too.
Have a beneficial day.
He was my best friend.
Let's find him.
And I murdered him.
I was wondering...
he lived in like Virginia Beach or something.
This was in the Appalachians.
When O'Brien was saying, when we were growing... You were just talking about this part, Patrick. When O'Brien goes, when we were growing up, they used to tell us humanity had evolved, that mankind had outgrown hate and rage. Yeah, but when it came down to it, when I had the chance to show that no matter what anyone did to me, I was still an evolved human being. I failed. I repaid kindness with blood. I was no better than an animal. How do you think Gene Roddenberry would have felt about this episode? Because wasn't Gene Roddenberry like, wasn't it implied that he wouldn't be all, he was like, DS9 was kind of going against his original vision of Star Trek?
So,
or was it not implied? Was it actually explied?
With the caveat.
Is that a word?
Who knows? We'll make it a word for your sake.
For my sake. Don't do me any favors.
I'm doing you 10 favors all at once. Look, the caveat being that we're just speculating on a dead person. So who the fuck knows? I think the further contextual thing is what era of Roddenberry, because Roddenberry in the 60s is different than Roddenberry in the 70s, different than Roddenberry in the 80s.
Because Roddenberry was all about, like, Star Trek was the future of humanity evolved beyond war and shit like that.
Most of that was TNG era, right? In TOS era, in the movies, but where he had control, but certainly in the TOS era, he allowed much more drama, many more flaws in his humans, and it was more about the system they had created was a better system. And
but I remember seeing in a documentary where he was talking about how he didn't want to have, like, interpersonal
conflict.
Yeah,
that's TNG. That's what I'm getting at. TNG is different. TNG era Rodney, by the time Roddenberry came to TNG, whether he changed his mind or whether he was only finally able to get his true vision, that's up for debate, I suppose. I think it's more he changed his mind, he evolved his thinking. By TNG, he decided all the drama should be external to the crew and should be by, like, either other people or rips in space-time, you know, those sort of phenomena. And the problem there is that you can introduce as difficulties producing drama because interpersonal drama.
Of course, that's like
is
that's
useful.
The bread and butter.
Now, I think I still, you know, there's a lot of storytelling. Miyazaki movies often are like that, where the problems are not that everyone's a piece of shit, but rather there's miscommunications or something. Mm-hmm. So you can do it, in this case, I think he would like this.
So yeah, because in this case, he was specifically referencing, like, we were taught that humanity evolved, which is what we were taught in TNG. But then he's like, but I didn't evolve.
Well, I think he might like this, but it depends on the era. TNG era, Roddenberry might not like this. But I think 60s era Roddenberry would probably think this is pretty rad. And I think he would like Julian Bashir's speech. But what the fuck do I know?
Nothing.
Roddenberry is long dead.
Oh, I have
three
is that special number.
Three duties? Duty or no duties.
Yes.
Duty or no duty number one.
Oh, yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
As of now, you're relieved of duty.
Duty or no duty?
No duty.
Now, play.
You're relieved of duty. You're relieved of duty.
Now, that's a duty. So it's a no duty.
You say no duty?
No duty.
I think that's possibly a duty.
All right,
you're relieved of duty.
Duty.
Play it again.
I don't think so, sir.
As of now, you're relieved of duty. You're relieved of duty. You're relieved of duty.
I say no duty.
No duty.
He's saying duty, so it's a no duty.
I think it's a hard D is what he's doing. I didn't mean to do that.
What's the next one? We got to move along.
But right now, in the judgment of this station's chief medical officer, you're unfit for duty.
That's a no duty.
No duty.
By the way, I really like his delivery here.
But right now, in the judgment of this station's chief medical officer, you're unfit for duty.
That's classic Sisko right there.
Yeah. Avery Brooks is a fucking genius. Yeah.
You're unfit for duty.
It was great seeing him live in Tamburlaine.
He measures it right out.
He's amazing.
You saw him live in what?
Tamburlaine at the Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C.
Alla Moraine?
No, yes, Alla Moraine. I'm live in Alla Moraine. It was great watching him jump around on stage. All right, next, third one.
I take it you talked to Captain Sisko.
I talked to him, all right. He relieved me of duty.
All right, that's a duty.
That's a total duty.
That's a duty.
He relieved me of duty. He relieved me of duty.
Duty.
Dan, he relieved me of duty.
Do you know what I have to say for that?
No.
Left in the room, locking in noon. Yeah, we on a mission. Rhyme so tight, flow so bright. Factual wish. Is it duty? No duty. Let the beat decide. I can't hide this vibe. Right the rhythmic tide.
What is
it? It's a duty. No duty.
Let the crowd speak. Where'd you get that?
Got the
bass.
Amazing. Melody. See the energy peak.
So here's the deal.
That's amazing.
After we're done recording this, we're about to do a Patreon. I think it's gonna be our best Patreon yet. I'll tell you where I got that and what that is on our Patreon episode.
What
Dan,
that is
in a couple minutes, but for now we got to end this episode. So last chance. Any audio clips?
How do you know what's best for me?
We we die.
How do you know what's best
just
for
like
me?
That?
How do you know what's best
just
for
like
me?
That?
But all right, next week we don't know what we're talking about yet because we're going to have we're going to have Dan's algorithm figure that out. Hey,
do you want to come color with me?
Maybe in a little while.
Maybe we know that in time for putting it in the show notes for next week's episode.
Maybe not.
Or for this week's episode, I should say. I don't know. But otherwise, you can check our website, www.discussstartrek.com. No.
Don't tell me what I need.
We will post what we'll be discussing about next week there. You can also check our social media at...
You're dead!
You're dead.
Don't threaten our listeners, Dan. We've talked about this. You can
bad.
Check our social media at It's Got Star Trek. We're on all the popular places. Twitter.
Where would I go to?
Where would I stay?
Mastodon, Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Is that clear?
A lot of fun on YouTube. So
Chicken City.
Yeah. Okay. I'm all right. I'm not familiar with that one, Jesse. Jesse's apparent. Jesse has never been on social media. So,
hey Jesse, remember Rat Chicken?
Yeah.
Rat Chicken. Okay. Why do you wear that mask?
All right. So yeah, social media. We did that bit. Feedback at StarTrek.com. Episode next week. We'll see. Follow us and figure it out. That was a good episode. All right.
You get used to it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I will.
You remember like the Snicker Man?
Yeah, that was from Homestar Runner.
We will. We'll talk to you all next week. We're gonna keep talking here. Just a FYI man, to the audience, we're gonna keep talking, but you'll hear from us again next week. Bye bye.
I'm going to sleep. Oh, how did you manage? 6 years in here all by yourself.
Oh, you find ways. I'd exercise, tell myself stories, draw seekers on the ground.
The seekers?
Geometric patterns, drawing them as a way to relax your body and occupy the mind.
Well, that helps.
Helps me.